conditions. As we know, the tribunal approved the merger with conditions. Those conditions, in fact, were volunteered by Walmart on the final day of the hearing, and they were taken intact. Our feeling, though, is that if we were granted all our discovery items, we had requested the tribunal to grant us discovery on a number of items, which would have enabled us to do an even more rigorous analysis than we did do, that the information would have enabled us to formulate more appropriate conditions. So ultimately, I think we want to secure conditions which are proportional to the might of Walmart and what its investment will mean, not only for retail in South Africa, but also in terms of the supplier industries. That's really what that is all about. If I can just then turn to the principal questions about what we are doing to ensure that we fill posts and finding adequate skills. What we are trying to do is bring in young, talented people initially on contract and then move them into permanent positions as they display their talents and skills, but also try and build them. Of course, that's difficult because we don't necessarily have adequate numbers of mentors in place to develop the skills of the people. But I think we obviously are becoming more proactive and will have to become even more proactive in terms of talent identification out there in the market. Of course, one is always concerned about what other departments will think if we start poaching their best talent in economics and so on. But I think those are some of the approaches that we're using because, of course, the public service regulations allow headhunting to take place if we go through a process and are unable to fill a post that has been advertised and gone through all the procedures, then we're allowed to headhunt directly. So we have been successful in a few cases like that, but there are still other opportunities for us to headhunt quite directly into posts that we were unable to fill through the prescribed procedures. And then obviously trying to nurture the local talent, bring them in at middle management or just below middle management level. Now, the issue of departments underspending on job creation initiatives, I think that's the importance of the system that I was trying to explain that we're developing with the Performance Monitoring and Evaluation Department in the Presidency. Because that system is going to require regular reporting by departments on their job creation initiatives. And if those are feeding into the cabinet-level processes, such as the cabinet mahutla, that is going to be a ready-made incentive for departments to really apply themselves very seriously to the issue of job creation. That will be both direct and indirect. We don't want departments to just go out there and fill posts for the sake of filling posts without them being able to make any contribution to better service delivery. So there's obviously a balance which I think is well understood at the level of the executive and which needs to be understood at the level of the administration as well, that simply filling vacancies without making any contribution to service delivery, for example, coming up with bloated administrations and unhealthy ratios of administration to service delivery staff is not going to solve our problems. But certainly the system will really compel departments to apply their minds to the issue of job creation. In the areas of triple BEE and the second economy, I think probably it would be important to mention that there were actions undertaken in that area. The growth path itself does contain policy perspectives on broad-based black economic empowerment. And the minister also participates in the BBBE Advisory Council. So the support we give him in that. But there is also work that we've done in the area of the second economy and the social economy. We have entered a partnership with the University of Johannesburg, where we are in the process of setting up training programs for entrepreneurs in social enterprise, as well as establishing a virtual incubator for micro enterprises through that particular initiative. So there is work that is beginning to take shape in those areas. The performance of Kula and SAMAF, I think it would be important to say that these are matters of grave concern. And I think they underlie the decision to amalgamate these institutions to see if we can get a more robust institution, which will obviously still have to have its own divisions, because we wouldn't like to lose the specificity of microfinance. Microfinance is really what we need to achieve economic inclusion, which is what the second economy initiatives are around. Neither of those institutions has been performing particularly well. We, although I think in this past financial year there is some improvement in SAMAF's overall performance, both on the corporate side and in terms of its core business side. Kula will not receive a qualification on its audit, but there are a number of areas of concern and challenges with the institution around its performance over the years, including the year we've just completed. They've written off several long outstanding loans now. That's part of the merger process as well, not to take those into the new entity. There are issues around the capitalization. Kula, of course, is entering a direct loaning arrangement now, Kula Direct, and there have been various views about the institution's readiness to rise to the challenge, but there's certainly a strong demand out there for a direct loaning facility. At the same time, their credit guarantee product hasn't had a good uptake with the banks, who complain that it's difficult to utilize. And there's also issues around the senior staffing of the institution. But I'm just pointing these out to indicate that we are quite sensitive to the issues that have been raised by the chairperson, and we are giving oversight, a very serious oversight to these institutions. On the capacity building for economic development, there is the one rollover item there, although that training was directed at provincial departments. But that is also important, that our provincial departments are fully capacitated to be able to engage at provincial, regional, district, local level with the issues of economic development. But there is an initiative currently taking shape with the trade unions, all the federations, where we are embarking on a capacity building initiative, trying to build research and analytical capacity in order for the trade unions to undertake better sectoral analysis and understandings of the challenges which face them, as well as other kinds of workshops and initiatives with the trade unions. We also are hoping that we will undertake similar initiatives with small business, although obviously we do have Kula and SAMAF that are already undertaking those kind of activities, so we want to also make sure that they undertake those activities optimally. On productivity, entrepreneurship, and innovation, I would echo or agree with the concern. We do now have some capacity in place in this area because those are also clearly critical areas if we are going to be able to successfully confront the job challenge in our country. And I think what underlies this is, as the Honourable Member has indicated, that the role of EDD in coordination is extremely important. The Honourable Members are aware of the outcomes-based monitoring system of the Presidency and the outcome, which is one of the key electoral mandates on employment creation, where we're working closely with the National Treasury and the Department of Trade and Industry. We have, in agreement with those departments, as EDD, taken a lead role at the officials level to assist in coordination of the various elements of that outcomes program in order to achieve the ultimate desired outcome, which is increase in job creation opportunities. Maybe then just to indicate that we did get an allocation for this year for Cooler Direct of 55 million, which we'll be transferring to Cooler. And again, there on the performance side, we've met with the chairperson very recently to express concerns around the sluggish pace of the rollout of that program. But hopefully, we'll get faster movement now coming from that. I hope I've addressed the issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
I see there are no follow-ups. I just wanted this stage to the just maybe the other thing one that needed to say is to congratulate you on the unqualified audit. But a report, but members of parliament normally sometimes take that with some caution, you know, because it's not in all cases that a qualified audit, in fact, there's no proper relationship between the audit outcome and the performance of the department. All the auditor general is interested in. That you submit all your receipts and what you can account for everything that you say that you have done. But also, I mean, from our side, we are also interested in engaging the Auditor General. That, in fact, the Auditor General has indicated that now they have begun now as well the process of performance management, so that this report doesn't just be a report that will. You've got all the numbers are correct. But would really like to thank you in this first engagement. I'm sure it's only the beginning. Today, what we normally do, as we did with the human settlement, is to invite the portfolio committee to be part of this process. However, the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development is this week is also a week for oversight for committees out on oversight. I'm sure next time when we engage, they will also be with us. On this note, I would like to thank you very much for the patience of waiting when I engage with other departments. And I didn't give Mr. Naidu, but because Mr. Naidu, there were no questions that really needed your assistance. With the instruction of the Secretary, we are invited to all assembled at dining hall with the permission of Honorable Nobili is raising the matter yesterday. Well, other members and colleagues, we all invited to the dining hall. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.